broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is indeed the broadcast for November the 2nd, in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to promote God, family, and country, to protect life, liberty, and property in the traditions of our founding fathers. And ladies and gentlemen, we got a road to hoe, that's for sure. News is everywhere. Criminal activity. Secret combinations of deception above the people. It's out of control. And it's only getting worse. Liberty Roundtable Live. Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. Our guest who joins us often, Becky Akers, with us. Incredible novels. Look up Becky Akers online. You'll find them. Abducting Arnold, an incredible book, learning the other side of the story with Benedict Arnold. Was he really our enemy and traitor as supposed? Well, when you dig into history, you find out some interesting, fascinating educational realities, to say the least. And Hailstorm, an incredible book about Nathan Hale. They're both available today. Incredible Thanksgiving/Christmas gifts for your loved ones who love history. They are fiction, but they're fiction only to place characters where they need to be to deliver the facts. What do they call that? Historical fiction? Anyway, incredible stuff. Hi, Becky.
Hello, Sam. It's always a pleasure and a privilege, so thank you.
What do you say? Criminal activity everywhere. Right before our very eyes. It just every time we turn around, it gets worse and worse and worse for principles of liberty, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. If you love this country, your heart has to be broken. By seeing such people as the Clinton Crime Syndicate ruling us and coming back for a second term at ruling us. But, Sam, I'm quite thrilled at all the revelations of illegal behavior and activity with her email cachet, and I'm hopeful now that the FBI has reopened its investigation that we may see some heads roll.
Let me tell you what I'm thinking is going on, because it's so complicated. Everybody's kind of debating what's happening and everything else. And here's what I think has happened. And I could be wrong on this. Again, this is just my theory, my research into the intel and my kind of analysis based on some assumptions and best guesses. I'm not telling you that I have all the facts. I'm not an insider. I am telling you that I can read the tea leaves pretty well, though. And here's what I think is happening. I think that Hillary has had so much corruption for so long. Most people have been so afraid to whistleblow, to deliver the truth. They're afraid that the body count of Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton is just going to grow, and they don't want to be the next one on the list to Arkanside. And so people have just been quiet, and really Hillary and Bill have been above the law for so long. However, what I believe has happened now is that we've created such an abuse level to the point where people are in a quandary. And that quandary is, do I want to go down when it eventually falls? Or do I want to somehow try to save my own hide? Number one. Number two, what if I'm a good person and I really didn't want to go along, but I just felt it was my duty to look the other way? Or I felt like I don't have the authority, or I don't believe I have a realistic channel of whistleblowing anyway, and so I just remain quiet, silenced by force and fear and intimidation, so to speak. And what if then somehow these people eventually are saying, all right, there is no choice anymore. We are so tied into criminal activity, to secret combinations above the people, to people above the law, to where, you know what, no matter what, we're darned if we do and darned if we don't. We're going to blow the whistle on this, not because we even believe that we'll be safe in the meltdown, but because we believe that there's a greater threat than we've been experiencing for the last 20 years. And so what you got now is an epic battle between the so-called Justice Department and the FBI. And the battle is about who's got ties to who, when, where, how. Is it a sex talk discussion with the Wienergate scenario? Or are we talking about Huma Abedin literally tied to the Saudi government, to 9/11 funding, and tied to the Muslim Brotherhood? And when you dig in and find out that Barack Obama, Huma Abedin, and Hillary Clinton are absolutely receiving money from the Muslim Brotherhood, from Al-Qaeda front organizations and more, you at some point back into the idea that set aside Sexgate, Wienergate, whatever you call the thing, we've got a national security crisis of epic proportion. And at some point, good people say, I cannot look the other way. Even if my hide may be in a sling over this, I've got to blow the whistle because national security is so at stake that I'm afraid we don't have a choice. And so good people are saying, I'm going to stand up because I'm afraid Donald's going to win. And when Donald wins, he may prosecute some of these people. And I'm going to make sure that it's not me. So I'm going to stand up in the name of national security. I'm going to stand up in the name of making sure that I can do my best to not be part of the guilt. You know what? I went along. That was when I didn't have as much information as I have now. And every one of these WikiLeaks, every one of these releases of information, whether it be Sexgate, Wienergate, through the New York Police Department, backing into a sex scandal, which eventually uncovers, a computer that Huma had that was related to unclassified or secret information being released onto non-secure computers. It goes on and on and on. When you back it all in together, you find this web of corruption that literally has ties to the enemies of America, to the point where even good people who might look the other way and say, well, I don't care about this sexting scandal. I'm not big enough to blow it out of the water anyway. I'll just remain silent. Or, you know what? She got some money she shouldn't have got. Well, tough beans. There's nothing I can do about that. To where now it's national security crisis at stake. And if Donald wins, prosecution may be coming for some of these people. I believe it's an epic battle and a coup within government. Not in a negative way to control government in a negative way, but to pull down power and to create some transparency and accountability, whether it's to save people's hides or whether it's for the nobler cause of defending America. I don't know. In everybody's case, it may be different, but I'm seeing an epic battle behind the scenes that most Americans literally know nothing about, Becky.
Yeah, and I would say, Sam, that what we have out in the public domain right now, the facts that we have, may not be what they appear either. It's always really hard to tell with politicians and bureaucrats who comprise the deep state, the people that really run the show. They're often not out in the front lines. They're, for instance, the directors at the CIA and the NSA. They have the dirt on everybody else. They pull a lot of strings. It's very difficult to tell. And remember, both the CIA and other parts of the government have been involved in fomenting revolutions and coup d'etats in foreign countries. They are used to presenting a playbook, and everybody buys it. That could be what's going on now. The CIA may have decided for some reason they no longer want the Clinton family anywhere near government, and they may be orchestrating the downfall of this crime syndicate. I certainly hope so. This should have happened a very long time ago. The Clinton crimes are so varied and so numerous that it's hard to pick one that is the most egregious, but to my mind, it's Waco. I will never forget the women and children and men, their lives cut short because that horrific Hildebeest ordered them to be torched. Okay, for that alone, that woman deserves to fry in hell forever, let alone all the other things this family has done to America. So if the CIA has finally, and the NSA have finally tired of Hillary, and I've read that numerous places, that they are offended by
Hillary. But let's be clear, though. They're not doing it because they really want transparency and honor. These people are corrupt,
oh, no.
And the organizations are corrupt. What they want to do is surgically remove her so that they can claim they cleaned house and got rid of the liabilities and carry on underground as usual. I'm not suggesting we're going to have real transparency and accountability and honor in government.
That
by any
will
means.
Never happen. That will never happen. There are too many people making way too much money off the way the government is currently formulated. No, all they're doing is switching the figurehead. I mean, we should always remember that, too. The presidency is nothing but a figurehead. And these people, for whatever reason, have decided that the Clintons are no longer sufficient figureheads. They'd rather go with Trump. Maybe he's in their pay, too. How can we tell? Maybe they have dirt on him. They probably have a lot of dirt on him.
Well, or maybe even that they believe he's a good guy, that he wants what's right for America. They'll put him in, then they'll undermine every policy and set the Patriot Movement back 25, 30, whatever years, saying, you know what, everything Donald stood for is a failure. Here's why. They trash the economy. They make it to where he can't create jobs. They create terrorism and false flag operations. And literally then they put him in power, but then force everything to become a failure and then blame it on him. And that may be their strategy. Who knows?
That may be, or they may just pull another JFK if he doesn't, toe the line with them and take their orders. So it's very difficult to tell what is going on. I think the silver lining in this is that it appears the powers that be have tired of the Clintons and their capers and are set on destroying them. I hope so. I hope they expunge the whole family from the face of the earth, take them out, and shoot them like the mad dogs that they are.
Podesta's in the news, ladies and gentlemen, even more so, if you can believe that. Kurt's got the tales. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, Becky Akers breaking it all down just for you. By the way, look up Becky Akers and get her award-winning novels today. Hailstorm, Abducting Arnold. Incredible stuff. Back in seconds on your radio.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like their green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Well, my family is a very interesting family because we're what you would call a stable family. My family doesn't smoke or drink because my mother brought me up in a Christian home. I guess that's what kind of has kept me straight because I've always looked up to the Lord.
Every day, an estimated 3,000 teens start smoking.
My parents always taught me, the difference between right and wrong. They always taught me that smoking isn't right because physically it's not good for you, and also mentally, it affects you. And they always try to do the right thing because things catch up to you in life sooner or later. I think kids learn behavior patterns from their parents because they're the people that they mostly see. They're the people who we love and respect. So the people who you love the most and respect the most from is who you tend to take things from.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Becky Akers and Kurt Crosby breaking it down just for you, ladies and gentlemen. John Podesta. Of course, the guy's getting more covers than he deserves, Kurt.
Well, and Sam, we've heard this time and time again. We've heard how Trump's got Russian connections, and, they're probably the guys behind the whole hacked email and all that kind of stuff. Well, in a LibertyNewsDaily.com piece, the headline reads, Podesta tried to hide Russian-linked assets in daughter's account. No, that's not Trump's daughter's account. It's his daughter's account. For weeks, the Clinton campaign has been accusing Donald Trump of being a puppet. Based largely on unproven allegations of Russian involvement in computer hacks. One hacked email documents that Podesta himself is the direct financial beneficiary of a Kremlin-financed energy company. The thing's called Joely Unlimited Technologies. I guess we just call it JUT for short. Podesta has claimed that he transferred his 75,000 shares in this company into an anonymous holding company called Leonidio Holdings. Doggone it, but guess what, Sam? The controlling partners of the company, they're Podesta's daughter and Podesta himself. Now, this is all according to the Daily Caller. They point this out, and they say other beneficiaries are all in the family, too. They say this is not Podesta's sole point of contact with the Russian government-connected firms. The Podesta Group, by the way, it's a big lobbying company that was created back in 88. It's lobbied on behalf of firms with links to the Kremlin, including Uranium One, which now controls one-fifth of the U.S. uranium supply. That's all according to the Daily Caller. Those guys doing good work, huh?
Wow. So Podesta tried to hide Russian-linked assets in his daughter's account. Is that Liberty News Radio or Daily Caller?
It's both, right? The Liberty News Daily report references the Daily Caller report. So it's both. But it's amazing, isn't it, Sam? You know, we've seen this time and time again. They will say, look, Trump's doing this when they're really doing it themselves.
That's how they roll.
Yeah.
And I guess they had secret meetings too, Kurt.
Well, yeah, Sam. This is a Liberty News Daily piece as well. Headline author, secret meetings on Hillary's email abuse has to do with Loretta Lynch and how she made secret visits to the White House, all to brief Barack Obama on these, investigations into Hillary's illegal diversion of State Department communications through a non-secure private email server. This is all according to a new book that's entitled Guilty as Sin. Ooh. Lynch was secretly going to the White House with FBI documents and filling in Valerie Jarrett and the president about what was going on so that they could get a strategy to make sure that Clinton would not be indicted. That's according to Ed Klein. He's the author of this book. He told this to Fox News. He cited what he described as sources with personal knowledge of those events. Klein insists that Obama's original motive was actually the opposite, that he wanted an indictment in order to clear the path for Joe Biden or Elizabeth Warren to become the Democratic Party's presidential nominee. I guess back in 08, Bill Clinton spoke a little disparagingly about Obama, and Clyde's account says the feeling is mutual between the Obamas and Clintons. But anyway, bottom line is now they've pivoted when they realized they were stuck with Hillary.
But now they don't know what to do, because on one hand, they want to pivot to support Hillary in case she wins, but they want to somehow support, what's that guy's name? The guy investigating the emails now?
Oh, Assange, right?
The guy investigating the emails.
Oh, Comey.
Comey. They want to basically back Comey, because if Donald wins, then they need to be on Comey's side. See, so they're kind of trying to put their finger up, see which way the wind blows, make sure that no matter what, they don't get caught in the crossfire. The problem is they're going to get hit by traffic going both directions, I'm telling you right now. But you literally have secret meetings by Attorney General Loretta Lynch to brief Barack Hussein on the FBI's investigation into Hillary. It's a scam. The problem is it almost seems like nothing can get these thugs out of power. Becky?
I would say nothing short of a shooting revolution is going to get them out of power. As I said before, there are way too many people with way too much power and too much money. The people with all the money have invested that money in Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Crime Syndicate. You know, all you have to do is look at the donors to the Clinton Foundation. These are people who are giving money as an investment. And, you know, Sam, if you were to invest in the stock market and you were to buy $100,000 worth of shares in some company, and then that company announces bankruptcy, if you have the power, you'll do anything you can to make sure that company doesn't go down. That's what these donors are going to do. That's what the forces that be that have propelled the Clinton Crime Syndicate all these years, that's what they're looking at. Our investment is going to go south. So I always have to balance that and realize we don't have by any means all the pieces to this. It is a multi-layered onion. We are just peeling back the top most layers. We don't know what's really inside. So there are forces and counterforces.
But what we do know is it's rotten as all get out. We can tell you that part.
It is absolutely corrupt. Another thing to keep in mind, though, is I don't think, given how these people orchestrate everything to their advantage, I seriously doubt they're leaving the election to chance. Or to who bothers among the serfs, the countless and worthless.
Oh, there's no question they rig the elections. There's no question they rig it all. And there's no question none of this is happening by accident.
No. So I don't know that they're sitting there waiting for the election. I think they've already predetermined. It's interesting to watch what's going on now. It looks like one faction that was for the Hildebeest has been conquered by the faction that is for Trump. And they're just trying to move everything into place so that Trump now can take the carrot. So again, you know, utterly corrupt, every single thing that's going on. We need to realize we are not living in a republic. We're certainly not living in a constitutional republic. Constitution no longer exists for these people. We need to realize that and stop insisting on it. We need to understand if we are going to take back freedom and if we are going to take back the Constitution, we are going to have to fight, in a literal sense, war on these people.
Now, let's be very clear, though, when we say this, too. When Becky says that, hey, nothing short of an armed revolution may solve this, that's the prediction of concern about reality, not necessarily an advocating statement, right?
Yes, both.
What I mean by that is I don't want anybody to get the idea that, hey, we're ready to pick up our guns and march to Washington. That'd be very foolish.
No, that would be foolish. And I'll tell you why, Sam. You can't have people get the government they want. Okay, now, you know, you look at our current government, we understand there is a ruling clique and they are ordering things the way they want it. However, the mass majority of Americans are not upset about this, or they would not tolerate it. Okay, I don't care how draconian and brutal and totalitarian your dictatorship is. The people living under it either tolerate it or they overthrow it. Okay, so whether it's Hitler's Germany, whether it's Stalin's Russia, or whether it's North Korea right now, if most people under it agree to overthrow it, it's gone. Okay, governments cannot resist the overwhelming will of the people. The problem is that most people aren't willing to go out there and overthrow it. Most people are not moved enough by the injustice and the corruption.
Hey, while we talk about significant weighty issues in America, I want to tell you what the mainstream press is talking about real quick. Ladies and gentlemen, did you realize that the headline is, it's their turn? Take your parents to work on November 4th, Friday. That way your parents can see what you do in the digital age. Ah, my mom and dad can listen every day on the radio. How's that? They're already with me at work every day, and so are you. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
This hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Richard Painter, who served in the White House Office of Counsel under George W. Bush, has filed a Hatch Act violation complaint against FBI Director James Comey. The Hatch Act forbids federal employees from engaging in partisan political activity in the course of their official conduct. Painter, who had supported the presidential bids of Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, John Kasich, and now Hillary Clinton, complains that by reopening his investigation into Hillary Clinton's admittedly illegal conduct regarding diversion of official correspondence and lying to the FBI about the matter, Comey has supposedly used his position to influence the outcome of an election. We cannot allow FBI or Justice Department officials to unnecessarily publicize pending investigations concerning candidates of either party while an election is underway, insists Painter. This is an abuse of power. Allowing such a precedent will invite more, and even worse, abuses of power in the future. Painter omits mention of the fact that Special Prosecutor Lawrence Walsh set this precedent on October 30, 1992, by announcing indictments against several associates of then-incumbent President George H.W. Bush, which had a dramatic influence on the presidential election just days later. Also of note is the fact that Comey had promised Congress to reopen the investigation if new evidence were discovered. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Becky Aker, Sam Bushman, Kirk Cosby on your radio, breaking it all down for you. The corruption's at an all-time high, getting worse by the minute, it almost seems. I don't think so. I think it's been this way for a long time. It's just starting to get a little bit of transparency as the factions fight behind the scenes. The reality is what their goal is they say, you know what, Hillary is too much of a liability now. How do we surgically remove her and her ilk and retain power, take it underground, pretend we've got it all cleaned up? How do we make the American people believe, hey, they got freedom once again, put the Donald in place, and go ahead and implement a couple of things that he wants so that everybody feels like we're winning, this is awesome, and then literally undermine everything he's doing and then eventually take power and set back those who truly fight for liberty by decades by eventually going after people, taking down media organizations, for example, just shutting down free speech everywhere. You say I'm crazy? Time will tell. We shall keep an eye on the ball just for you. All right, I want to switch gears. The mainstream press talking about it's their turn. Take your parents to work on November 4th, Friday. I mean, really, with all that's going on, that's what they're talking about. Take your parents to work. Mom and Dad, let me catch you up on thugocracy and government, okay? This is wow. All right, there's a mainstream press article. It's either in the USA Today or the New York Times, and I'm not going to tell you which. I want you to go find out for yourself. But the headline says this: counterfeit cash is harder to spot. Amber, and I can't say her last name, Maracani Fester. Anyway, it's one of those hyphenated last names. Anyway, Amber writes it. And counterfeit cash is harder to spot. I want to break this down quick. And then I want to get Becky and Kurt's take on this story. This is fascinating. And it's something where the mainstream press is so tied up in WikiLeaks, so tied up in Podesta, so tied up in Hillary, so tied up in sex, they can't talk about what's really happening behind the scenes. But I'm going to drill in because it's vital we know about this. Now, counterfeit cash is harder to spot. And they tell this big old long story. When a woman stepped into the Great Clips Salon last year in Tracy, California, with her two kids in tow, manager Julie Rudd didn't suspect a thing. And when, well, she used a counterfeit detector pen on the counterfeit bill, well, showed that it was real. Yeah, no worry. The ink stayed clear. Genuine bill, she thought. But it wasn't until she took the money later to her bank that she found out it was an absolute fake. Harder to detect, easier to make. That is the challenge posed by, quote, advancing technologies. Higher resolution, better color duplication, lower price of entry, and more makes counterfeiters with special fake bills easier and easier to deliver. Nearly 70% of the, quote, $78 million in counterfeit currency passed off of the United States, based on digital printing technologies, the Secret Service is now reporting. Wow. So it was made using digital technologies. Six men, now listen carefully to this, six men were sentenced last year for creating fake $100 bills so sophisticated that the counterfeiters eluded capture for 15 years. So these six guys made fake $100 bills that got away with it for more than 15 years. And in September, a man living in his truck in Missouri was found guilty of printing over 9,100 bills. Now, this one guy says he loses all kinds of money every year due to counterfeiting, etc. They say the damage may even be greater. Cashiers may not even realize there's fake bills, and they may pass them off as change. But let me point out something that's really important to understand from your government. You ready? Once a fake is recognized as such, you won't be reimbursed, the Treasury Department says. Oh, really? Wow. So counterfeits getting harder to detect. Modern tools make it more and more possible to get this done all the time. You can't even detect it. A couple of guys hanging out with their digital printers got it done for over 15 years. They say you'd have to eat the loss. You won't be reimbursed, says the Treasury Department. Now, I bring this up because they want you to believe that, by golly, there's just bad apples out there just destroying the cash, and so it's a problem. And there's an unsaid couple of points to this story that I want to bring out. Remember, a lot of times in the news, it's not what's said, it's what's not said. The main story says, hey, counterfeiting is becoming a problem with all this technology. Wow. Number one takeaway, you won't be reimbursed. So imagine if you went to your bank and took your whole 401k out, let's say 100 grand, and you took it out in $100 bills or whatever you did. If the bank gave you a bunch of fake money and then they caught you, they would say, well, you're not going to be reimbursed. Sorry. Wow, that's a real important nugget that they're admitting to way down in the story. But it gets worse because they're talking about some homeless guy in his truck making money. Or these guys that evade detection for 15 years. But here's the real point. What about the money outside of the United States? It's done a gazillion times more outside. In other words, foreign rather than domestic, number one. Number two, the biggest, well, there's two fraudulent creators of money. One, the Federal Reserve, doing it openly in your face. Okay, they're counterfeiting big time. And the problem is the counterfeiters hate it when people counterfeit the counterfeiters. You see what I mean? Well, but beyond the Federal Reserve doing it openly in your face, illegally as all get out, criminal activity every second of the day, to the tune of trillions and trillions of filthy lucre. But then you got black ops within government that create more fake bills than anybody. In fact, you wonder if the Federal Reserve or the legitimate machinery making the, quote, supposed real bills are making the fake bills for black ops in government. None of that's discussed in this story. But I go to my last point, and then I want to break it down and have Becky and Kurt weigh in on this. The goal for these people is to get you and I so afraid of cash, because the story goes on and talks about, by golly, people used to use cash, but they're using it less and less and less. You got to go to some digital, controllable, manipulatable currency on the computer or whatever. And really, their goal is to get us so fearful that they will either, one, replace the cash system, and or two, force us off cash, a cashless society. That's their real endgame. But I submit to you that the criminals, I don't care about this $9,000 guy in a truck or whatever else, that's the icing on the cake for criminal activity. Really, it's government producing money that they have no authority to do under the Constitution. That's why our founders wanted gold and silver. And then number two, the black ops in government, either getting legitimate bills, fakely produced, if you will, and or creating their own fakes. This is a massive problem. And on one hand, they want you to believe that, oh my gosh, there's just some bad guys printing money. Oh no. Who are the real bad guys, Becky? Isn't that the real story here?
That is actually, Sam, and it's amazing to me that just the Federal Reserve alone has not provoked an outright revolution with its destruction of our way of life, its destruction of our stability. For people to be upset about the few private counterfeiters that are out there when the federal government is flooding our country with worthless money. It's such misplaced priorities, and it's typical of the corporate media to keep waving this false flag in their faces.
Kurt, you want to chime into this?
Well, it couldn't be a more important topic, in my opinion. You've got a lot of people weighing in on this. Typically it's not something that the mainstream media wants to even talk about, but it's amazing to me when you look at Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution. It says no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. It's not that hard to understand, and yet somehow it's been altered, and we just kind of go on. And you know, all these guys that say, man, that's unconstitutional, when they talk about, limiting somebody's right to burn a cop car or something like that. They never seem to bring up this whole idea of, we're printing money on paper, out of thin air.
And who said money doesn't grow on trees? What's wrong with those people?
That's
now,
right.
What I find fascinating about this, though, is if we really tied people down to constitutional currency, gold and silver, all this corruption we're talking about with Bill and Hillary and billions and trillions of dollars funded from Saudi governments straight into the hands of our politicians and pay to play and whatever weird terms they use for flat out satanic corruption. Every bit of this is driven by the fact that we've allowed them to control the printing presses and move us from honest money, true, real, honest weights and measures, to nothing but criminal paper. When we get back, I want Becky to respond to that because, hey, they couldn't do what they're doing without black ops faking money and creating as much money as they want to perpetuate their sinister design. It couldn't happen if we had real constitutional currency. They'd be chained down with the Constitution. We'll talk about it. Liberty Roundtable Live. Sam, Kurt, Becky Akers on your radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
We're talking about bogus fiat currency, ladies and gentlemen, because I believe if we really want solutions, the only way we're going to rein these thugs in for good is if we force them to use honest, constitutional, finite, sound weights and measures, according to the Bible, honest currency. With dishonest money, these people can just print whatever they want, do whatever they want. They're running around now trying to take the cash away because they can actually fudge digital currency even easier than the cash. But none of it compares to constitutional currency. The founders were wise indeed. But anyway, it turns out that Glenn Beck yesterday interviewed Constitution Party candidate for president, Daryl Castle. Believe it or not, I'm shocked it was a fair interview for a change. And it was a good interview, and Daryl Castle hit it out of the park. And the reason that I bring him up right now is because that's who I've endorsed for president, Daryl Castle and Scott Bradley, on the Constitution Party. I realize they won't win. But anyway, the point is, they said to Daryl Castle, one of the co-hosts for Glenn, said, hey, Daryl, aren't you one of those guys that would audit the Fed? And Daryl said, no. These poor guys just got shocked. And then Daryl said, I would just simply end the Fed. No need to waste time auditing it. Let's just end it and go back to constitutional money. Kurt, you want to respond? You want to respond to that?
Just imagine if that kind of message was, shared to the Americans all across the land. You know, like they get shared all the silly stuff that they get told about. You know, you need. For example, there's a story about how you need an egg a day, or you need more sleep, or, you know, whatever. They just don't have space for stuff that's a real solution, like Daryl Castle and Scott Bradley. And
yeah, so I wrote my headline, shocking, Glenn Beck fairly interviews Constitution Party candidate Daryl Castle. It was actually quite a fair interview for a change, Kurt. But anyway, so he said, why waste time auditing the Fed? Let's just end that sucker. Becky, that's the only way these people can get away with their shenanigans is they have unlimited resources based on dishonesty from the get-go. And until we bring it back to the core, all the rest is just chatter.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything we can do to cut their money line is fantastic. I have not studied this issue in the Constitution, Sam, so I'm going out on a limb here, but I think, just based on my overall reading of the Constitution, that it not only delegates the authority to set what money is as far as silver and gold coinage to the states, not the feds, but it also never says that the states can have a monopoly on that.
All it does is lock the relationship to where there's stability in the system. Anybody can find gold and silver in the ground. God can guide them to money or whatever you want to say. And so there's no monopoly on money. All there is a stabilizing of the reality so that we know what we're getting, know what we're counting on. But the government doesn't dictate that. All the government says is you can't have anything else falsely competing with honest money.
And so that would simply be an enforcement activity on the part of the state governments that anyone, you know, putting out copper coinage, perhaps, is told you can't do that, just as if you go to murder somebody, the state says you can't do that.
That's right.
We would have private banks, private people putting out money, and you'd have competition. This is how it used to be in the 19th century and late 18th century. You'd have competition among these private banks and individuals for whose money was purest, whose was easiest to handle. The whole reason you had paper money grow up is because banks would issue notes based on their gold reserves because the notes were easier to handle than the gold, the actual gold coinage. Absolutely, we need to get back to that. We need to take any kind of control. In fact, I would get rid of that constitutional business about the gold and silver. We shouldn't have government involved at all with our money. It should be a totally private function. And the way you would keep corruption out of it is the competition. Anybody who wants to coin money, but, you know, if you get a reputation for sending out counterfeit coins, you know, tin dipped in silver or something, you're out of the game. Nobody will use your money after that. So we need to let the free market control money, just as we need to let the free market control all our interactions.
Yeah, and I agree with Becky for the most part. There's a little bit of a difference between the constitutional view and the anarchist view that, Becky would have, one would be Becky saying, hey, the private sector can regulate itself completely. I submit sometimes, if you're not careful, there's a vacuum. And if you don't properly put together the proper role of limited government, then sometimes that vacuum can get filled with a greater evil. The question is how to handle that balance. And the anarchists would say that balance never works. And I would say, but no government never works. And so the battle rages on. But the point either way would be we need honest money. We need money that can't just be made out of thin air. You know, they create a $100 bill and they say, golly, it cost us 2 cents to make. And now we're going to pretend it's $100 and we're going to charge interest on top of that. I mean, it's just thuggery from the get-go. And until we get a handle on that dishonest perpetuation of fiat money, filthy lucre, you're never going to get a handle on stopping corruption, because that's what gives them the wherewithal, the resources, the whatever, to perpetuate their evils. Every time that seems to be the fact. Kurt, you want to add to that?
Yeah, the you know, the Constitution does say in Article 1, Section 10, when it references what states are supposed to do or not do, they're not to coin their own money, it says, but then they're also not to allow anything but silver coin, gold and silver coin, as tender in payment of debts.
In other words, the states can't do that, but I can.
Yeah. Well, you know, the bottom line is, you know, when you look at our original, you know, laws, it told you exactly what, how many grains of fine silver a dollar was. That's what I like to do at the honey table many times. I like to get one of the silver dollars. You know, you've got the Peace ones or the Morgan silver dollars. You get one of those sitting there, and then you get one of those Pocahontas ones and some of these others, you know, and, of course, a Federal Reserve note.
Yeah, do not pass go, $200. Yeah.
You know, you put some of those there, and they all say $1 on them, and then you just ask people, well, who's telling the truth here, you know? And, you know, a lot of times they just kind of scratch their head, you know. Because it is kind of an interesting situation we're in, huh?
Yeah, and we need to understand that, again, it's when you have an asset-based system, in other words, gold and silver, it takes a certain amount of work, labor, to even make it available to put in your hand in a usable form. That work represents an asset. That production from work, an honest money, relates to, again, a passing of that work asset in a valuable form. By intrinsic value, then trade for trade for trade. There's value all along the way, real value, not fake, created out of thin air value, but real value. That's why the gold and silver is so important. And the only proper role for government is to make sure that there's a relationship for between monies, gold and silver, so that we have an understanding that we can all rely on. In other words, the goal of the government is oftentimes to make sure that there's coordination enough for stability. And other than that, the government needs to get out of the way. So the states can't create that money. They only, by law, have to use that kind of money. And any other money they use in competition to it is illegal. And so if we're going to allow illegality going on with our money, what other illegality are we going to try to stop? Good luck with that. The whole system's corrupt all the way to the root. And that's kind of the problem. If you read Pieces of Eight, or if you read Creature from Jekyll Island, or if you read Shadows of Power, or any of these books, you'll gain a serious understanding of how the dark side of government grows. And I'm telling you, you start with the dishonest money, giving them unlimited resources, and you'll never win the game. It's an absolute engineered loss. And that's why the founders realized it was so important to have gold and silver. And a lot of people think something else besides gold and silver will work. I don't agree. I mean, I'm not saying that I can't trade Kurt for something or Becky can't trade me for something. We can barter all we want to. And by the way, barter's a big piece of this pie. We're free to use whatever we want. It's just that government's not free to. Okay, if I don't want to use money, I want to just trade my good looks for cookies that Becky makes, then I can do that. Or if I want to trade with Kurt and get some honey and let him come on the radio with me, I can do that. Or whatever the case may be, I don't have to use gold and silver. It's not the only medium of exchange. It's just that government can't use something else, because then it's endless on the resources they have, and they will always use it to crush the people. Becky, any comments on that?
Yeah, I have a couple of comments. First of all, if government, we can rely on natural laws, and I don't mean natural laws, we usually think of it, the freedom, you know, that sort of thing. I just mean the natural way that things happen. If we are free to create our own silver and gold coinage, we don't need to worry about the government anymore. They can print all the paper money they want to, and our silver and gold coinage will drive them out of existence.
Exactly right.
People will not accept that. Secondly, one of the reasons I would say government should have absolutely nothing to do with our money, not even setting the standards for stability, is because you cannot ever, government is nothing other than bureaucrats and politicians, and you cannot trust politicians around money any more than you can trust an alcoholic around liquor. If you say, well, it's okay to have an alcoholic wandering around the bar at night and my supplies will be untouched when I get in there in the morning, you're a fool. And the same thing if you say, well, I can let politicians decide something on money. No, they are going to help themselves to it every time you leave them near it. So, but absolutely, Sam, money is the key to power. And that's why politicians are always after our money.
There you have it. I know some people are thinking, man, Sam, there's so many hot topics. Why did you divert to that? Because I think that's the core. And I think in that lies the solutions to rein in these thugs. In that, we need to understand that, hey, 90% of the problems we're facing are really nothing but a downstream reality of that dishonesty. There you have it. Thank you, Becky. We appreciate you. We'll have you back soon.
Thank you, Sam.
By the way, prediction, who's going to win the election? Go.
I hope Trump, because I think Clinton will absolutely drag this country even lower than it already has. I don't have high hopes for Trump, but he's less dangerous.
All right, thank you. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com, LibertyNewsDaily.com. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to make America great again, huh?